And it may not be clear as the morning yet. It may not be white as the restless sea, but love given freely becomes what it ought to be.
Some Things Shouldn't Be a Chore by Sci-Fi Girl 47. Read by Hana Nobira. Chapter 2. It wasn't the first time that Tony cursed the fact that he didn't own a company, and it wasn't going to be the last either. Usually the gimme, gimme impulse faded when he realized he could make something better, make it cheaper, make it Stark Industries worthy, without actually infringing on any patents or waste his time or money getting his hands on someone else's intellectual property. When the impulse didn't fade, he called Pepper. "Tony, do you have any idea what time it is?" she asked as she picked up the phone. Yet that was not a good question. Tony had learned that from painful experience. That was not a good question, especially when presented in Pepper's caustic, icy tones. That tone was the one that meant Tony was going to be buying some sort of complicated and expensive shoe-related product very soon. He considered hanging up and pretending that the whole thing had never happened, but that had never actually worked. "Daytime?" he answered at last. There was a long pause. "You are an idiot, Tony," she said at last, but there was amusement in her voice. "Yes, I suppose that's accurate, technically." He checked his watch. "Are you in L.A.?" he asked, frowning. "France, Tony." "Yeah, it would just be best if he called up the Jimmy Choo website now." "Wonderful. You love France." "I do, as a matter of fact. Why are you calling me, Tony?" "Pepper, is it so strange a concept that I would miss you and want to hear your dulcet tones? Your sweet, kind Tony." He took a breath, considering another verbal gambit, but she was probably going to hang up on him if he tried it. "Buy me a company." "No. No, listen, I need this one. I really need this one. I've been up for 39 hours or so, and there's only so much I can do right now. Pepper, I need you. I need you to man up and buy me a company." "As convincing an argument as you present, Tony? No." Tony sighed and tossed back half a cup of coffee. "Pepper, I don't think you remember who signs your paychecks." "That'd be Marie, the head of payroll." "That was who signs your paychecks in the metaphorical sense, and you know it." He gestured with his coffee cup and nearly clocked Dummy. "Dummy, you know better than to get in the way when it's coffee time. And no, I will not be drinking that. I saw what you did. I saw you drop the whole jalapeno in there, seeds and all. No. No matter what Barton tells you, no. In fact, because it was Barton telling you, no. Dump that out."
"Am I interrupting?" Pepper said sweetly.
"As a matter of fact, right at this moment, yes, you are." With a sigh, Tony took the green smoothie that Dummy waved in his face. "Dummy has been hanging out with a bad crowd. I may have to ground him." "I'm going back to bed now, Tony."
"Pepper."
"No, Tony."
"But I want it," he said, enjoying the wine.
"It's not even your birthday, Tony. If I got you a company every time you asked, it would diminish the times when you really, really deserve a company."
"But I never deserve a company. However, I'm spoiled and rich and smarter than everyone, and I have the bestest CEO in the world. So chop chop, it's acquiring time."
He threw himself into a chair, balancing his coffee cup on one palm as the chair rolled across the workshop floor. Dummy chased after him, chirping the whole time. Kicking his legs in the air, he grinned at the ceiling, almost able to feel her weakening.
Tony, now is not the time to be acquiring new tech. It's just not. Tony's lips turned down in a serious pout. Pepper, when is the last time I asked you for something? You called me during a board of directors meeting to ask me where the Milanos were. When I told you I didn't have a clue where you'd hidden your damn cookies from Thor, you then requested I buy Pepperidge Farms, or at the very least, quote, find out what happened to that hilarious guy with the accent from their commercials, end quote, both of which I declined to do. Tony paused, considered that. Yep, sounded like something he'd do. Well, when was the last time I asked you for something serious? Pepper hummed, turning her sharp and able mind to what might be considered serious. Probably the issue with Bale in Kenya. Thank you for that, by the way. Don't do it again. Well, for God's sake, who else am I supposed to call for bail money? I nominate Steve. Tony choked on his coffee. Do not, I repeat, do not tell Captain America when I've been arrested and am being held on trumped-up charges overseas. That is just not information that he needs, and I can still fire you. No, you can't. And I love how you think Steve will not be aware of you being arrested. You getting arrested tends to make CNN in about 15 minutes. Only on the web feed. And he gets his info from newspapers still, so I'm safe. Tony leaned back. Seriously, Pepper, I need this one. She sighed. Which company? iRobot. This time the pause was long and filled with all sorts of unspoken words, most of them curses. The robotic vacuum cleaner people? Yep. No. Pepper, seriously, this is good. This is something I can work with. You have no idea. I haven't had so much fun with a machine in, like, years, okay? Maybe not years, but at least months. These things are awesome. Another long pause. Tony, what are you doing right now? He held up the coffee cup, even if she couldn't see it. It's coffee time, Pepper. The most sacred 12 times of the day. And what were you doing before coffee time? She asked, the soul of patience as always. Tony grinned down at the lab floor, where his Roombas were swirling in complicated patterns, chittering at each other and being herded by Butterfingers into small groups so they could learn from each other. Reprogramming Roombas. Pause. Roombas. Plural. How many? I started out with 50. Yeah, okay, this hotel has to have a minibar. He heard the rustle of blankets and sheets as she pulled herself out of bed. What are you wearing? He asked, grinning into his coffee cup. The scalps of men who annoyed me when I was trying to sleep. There was the clink of a bottle on a glass. I know I'll regret this question. I am already regretting it, Tony, I am. But why do you have 50 Roombas? Because Steve is making me sweep the kitchen floor. I see, she said, when she clearly didn't. No, see, the thing is... No, Tony, do not explain. Because if I start seeing logic in your madness, I will have a nervous breakdown, and I do not have time for that right now. I've got that penciled in for the next time Loki shows up to cause trouble. Really, I cannot be bothered right now. She took a deep, audible breath. So, Steve made you sweep the floor, and because of this, you purchased, and I'm sure upgraded, 50 robotic vacuum cleaners. Yep, a item to holy hell. They are lean, mean cleaning machines. He chuckled as one swirled around the base of his chair on super speedy wheels. And how long have you been working on this? He considered his notes. What day is it? And sweeping the kitchen floor would have taken, I'm estimating around 10 minutes. Tony shrugged. I guess. I don't sweep much, so I'll trust your estimate on that. and instead of just sweeping and leaving, you spend hours of your time and hundreds, probably thousands of dollars, buying and upgrading Roombas.
But now we have Roombas, Tony pointed out, and I don't have to sweep, ever. Also, I built a sentient toaster, 'cause I'm good like that. I'm a giver.
Tony, that is the least effective use of your time that I've ever...
Pepper, you've met me, he interrupted. You've worked for me for years. You made the mistake of dating me. You've managed to avoid shooting me, and it would have been completely justified, really. I know this. If you'd shot me at certain points of our relationship, no jury would convict you, and I'd have testified on your behalf that I totally had it coming, he said. So there is no way that you can finish that sentence that does not make you feel stupid later. Just quit while you're ahead.
Tony, I'm going to press the panic button now, she said, because you're starting to make sense again, and that means Stockholm Syndrome is kicking in, and I need help.
Panic button? What panic button? Who gave you a panic button?
Good night, Tony. She cut the call, and Tony stared at his phone, eyes narrowed, suspicious.
Jarvis, he said, who gave Pepper a panic button?
You did, amongst others, Jarvis said, unruffled. Miss Potts is, after all, everyone's favorite.
She's awesome, Tony agreed.
Wait, amongst others? Jarvis, who...
Heavy footfalls were pounding down the stairs, and Tony scrunched himself up.
Steve, he whined. She called Steve? That is blatantly unfair. That is just underhanded, sneaky, mean.
I shall see that she meets you after class for a hair-pulling catfight, Jarvis said.
So much hatred in your sweet little circuits, Jarvis. I don't understand this. It's not the way you were lovingly raised.
I was merely trying to distract you from locking Captain Rogers out of the workroom.
Wait!
Tony? Steve was in sweatpants and a shirt that was like two sizes too small for his chest. And Jesus, who was dressing the boy? Could they not find clothes that fit?
Steve looked down at himself.
They fit, don't they?
Not at all, Tony said, taking care to pronounce each word, so his brain would understand that this verbal diarrhea thing was not acceptable. Who is outfitting you?
I go to the shield.
Oh, God, stop right there. No, I mean it. Don't do that anymore.
Tony reached for his coffee cup, and it was empty. He made a face.
Butter.
He winced as the robot whipped by, making a very annoyed sound in Tony's direction.
Okay, I got it. Fine. Whatever. I can make my own coffee. You've got enough problems.
Steve jerked back as the bot rolled by with his herd of Roombas.
Tony, what the heck are those? He asked, eyes wide.
Roombas 1 through 25, Tony said, yawning.
Dummy, do we have... No, I do not want a smoothie.
He stuck his tongue out when Dummy waved the blender cup at him.
You really are the smartest person I've ever met, Steve said, crossing his arms over his broad chest.
I have to keep reminding myself of this, because you are an idiot sometimes.
Cap, I am hurt. I am deep down hurt. You can alleviate this hurt by providing me with coffee.
Tony held up the cup, his expression hopeful and hangdog by equal parts.
I think you've had enough.
What are these, Tony?
The Roombas? Tiny robot vacuum cleaners. They're commercially available, but they're pretty damn dumb out of the box. Just vacuum and roll in a straight line until they hit something, and then they alter their trajectory, and when they're done with their programmed space, they head back to their charging station. As robots go, kinda lame. So I made them better. Well, some of them. I overordered and had to cannibalize some of them, and there were a couple of mistakes, and some I haven't opened up yet, but hey, Roombas!
The little puck-shaped robots rolled around Steve's feet, and he stared down at them.
The sad thing is, this is not the strangest thing to happen to me in this house.
He took Tony's coffee cup away. I'm cutting you off. Let's go get some food.
Yeah, that's a good offer. Thank you for that, he said, spinning back around to the bench and reaching for a blowtorch, just a little one. Detail work was the best work. But I'm up to my elbows in half-finished bots here, and it's not a good idea to leave them unsupervised at this point in their development, so I'm just going to stay here and handle that. So I'll talk to you... He blinked.
He was moving away from the workbench. He made a grab for it, but it was too little, too late, and he realized that Steve wasn't listening to him, and was instead just towing Tony in his chair towards the elevator.
This is cheating, Tony said, hugging his blowtorch to his chest.
I'm not very good at it, Steve agreed, reaching over his shoulder and snagging the blowtorch from Tony's grip. He placed it on a table as he walked past. But dealing with you has given me a lot of reasons to learn.
You blame me for everything.
Well, it is almost always your fault. Steve noticed the Roombas following them and sighed. Dummy, Butterfingers, could you guys please keep them down here? They chirped and bobbed at him. And he sighed. Tony.
No.
Tony crossed his arms over his chest, and the bots milled around, confused and worried and unhappy. He sighed.
Okay, fine. Wait here, guys. I shall return.
Throwing up a double peace sign, he allowed Steve to tow him into the elevator. Butterfingers, Dummy, high five! He laughed as the bots slapped hands.
You have no idea how long it took me to train them to do that, he said to Steve, still laughing.
Don't you mean program?
Nah, just trained. They are learning bots. Not really good at it, but what the hell?
He leaned his head back to look up at Steve.
Can we have pancakes?
It's almost dinner time, Tony. Did you miss lunch?
Yes, and also, I don't see what the time of day has to do with whether or not we can have pancakes.
Humming, you can drive my car. He leaned back and let Steve steer him into the elevator.
You're enjoying this?
Not like I can stop you from toting me around. Might as well pretend it's my idea, Tony said with a shrug. Also, if he was being honest, which he hated, really, it only got him in trouble. He was hungry. A steady diet of coffee, no sleep, and the beep of his bots was enough to make him feel a little dizzy and a lot spacey. And Steve's presence was as solid and sure as a rock behind him. But being pushed through the halls in a chair was only going to give people more ammunition against him. So when the elevator doors opened, he stood up with a sigh and headed for the kitchen, Steve right on his heels. Clint had his chin balanced on his folded arms, leaning over the counter, eye to shiny metal surface with the new addition to the Stark family of dysfunctional kitchen appliances.
Listen, buddy, I get it. I do. You don't want the sesame seed bagel, and I don't blame you. Sesame seeds, they get in everything. Gotta get your crumb tray cleaned like every day with sesame seeds. I hate it when they get stuck in my teeth myself, so I'm with you. But they're the only ones we've got left, and I want toast.
The toaster made a rattling noise not unlike a little kid blowing a raspberry.
Fine, I got it, yeah, but throw me a bone here. What's your stance on Eggos?
Are you trying to negotiate with a toaster? Steve asked, and Clint straightened up with a heavy sigh.
Negotiating and failing, which is even more embarrassing.
He poked the thing with a butter knife, but it was a gentle poke.
New appliance, let me explain how things work around here, Tony said, heading for the fridge. If you do not cultivate a lovable personality, I will gift you to S.H.I.E.L.D., and you'll be stuck in the break room designed for the most junior of the agents, the dumb ones that still think Coulson is an android of some sort.
Tony leaned down so he was face to box with the toaster. The sort of traumatized and stupid children who will try to stuff an entire blueberry muffin into your slots. There was a long silence. Then the toaster made a popping noise.
Yeah, that's what I thought, Tony said, standing up. I gotta put up with the intelligence, but if you get uppity on me, I will bust you down to your component particles. Capiche?
He opened the freezer door and tossed the box of multigrain Eggos to Clint. Stop encouraging the diva behavior. Clint caught the box with one hand, fielding it easily.
You know what, Stark? Screw you. He grinned. I'm no technophobe, but this place is terrifying. I've put up with self-adjusting lights and TVs and DVRs that flat out tell me my taste in shows sucks.
It does, Tony said from inside the fridge.
Yeah, well, screw you twice,
Clint said cheerfully, cheerful now because the toaster had accepted his meager offerings of frozen waffles. I've ignored it when Dummy wears my crossbow like a pointy hat, and that bow is my lifeblood. It's as close to a religious object as I have. I've even gotten used to Jarvis talking to me in the shower.
Jarvis doesn't talk to me in the shower, Steve said, picking through the fruit bowl. He selected an apple, polishing it on his chest, like that was something people did. And it was so adorable, Tony wanted to take a picture and frame it.
Jarvis doesn't bother you unless you bother him first, Tony said, and it sounded defensive. He hated that. But he couldn't seem to stop it either.
It was one time, Jarvis said, his tone cutting. And he had lost consciousness, his vital signs were destabilizing, and he was bleeding from a rather impressive head wound. Forgive me for being curious if you required an ambulance or a coroner, Agent Barton.
He's pissed. He's calling you Agent Barton, Tony said, grinning. Jarvis was scrupulously polite and called people what they requested to be called. Clint had cut off the Agent Barton nonsense in the foyer about 10 minutes after stepping into their new living quarters.
You passed out in the shower?
When?
Steve dropped his apple to the counter and crossed the kitchen in two long, impressive strides. His hands closed on Clint's head, checking for damage, and Clint tried to bat him away.
Jesus, it's fine! It was weeks ago! I'm fine! Okay, Cap! Really! Hey!
Give it up, Tony advised him with a faint smile.
Overprotective Cap is overprotective.
Steve gave him a look, but he didn't stop running his fingers through Clint's hair, looking for the injury.
Left side, rear, 20 degrees from the crown,
Jarvis said, helpful, as always.
You can stop at any time, Clint told him.
Jarvis made a humming noise, noncommittal.
Is this a bullet wound? Steve sounded horrified, and Tony choked on a laugh.
A graze, Clint said, rolling his eyes. Cripes, Jarvis, look what you've done.
I'm sorry, Jarvis said, his cultured tone saccharine. When you brought up my intervention, I assumed you were doing so for the purpose of me providing additional information. If you'd prefer, I can pull up the video feed.
No! Clint yelped.
This is his way of saying, throw me under the bus and I'll drag you along with me, Tony explained.
Yeah, I got that.
Is there a reason why we're pinning Clint to the counter and molesting him? Natasha asked as she slipped through the kitchen door. She had a bright green watering can in one hand and a dirty pair of gardening gloves in the other.
Not that I'm objecting. I'm just disappointed that I wasn't invited.
Clint gave her a look.
Help!
No, whatever you've done, you deserve whatever you get. A faint smirk on her beautiful face, she patted him lightly on the cheek as she ghosted past.
He got shot and didn't tell anyone, Steve said, still considering the scar on the back of Clint's head.
Natasha went from amused to pissed, so fast that Tony resisted the urge to duck behind the counter and cover his head with both arms. That, or call for someone to prep his armor. Natasha grabbed Clint's head and pulled it down, pushing Steve's hand aside, and began chewing him out in low, violent-sounding Russian. Clint sighed. Meeting Tony's eyes from across the kitchen, he mouthed, "Help me!" And Tony chuckled.
Not a chance, he said. As long as they're focused on you, I get a bye.
Come on, we're on a team here, Clint started, just as the toaster popped up. Hey, Waffles!
As Captain America and the Black Widow discussed his tendency to get injured and hide it, in excruciating, embarrassing detail, Clint found a plate and silverware, and Tony passed him the syrup.
So, Clint said, looking at Tony, this is my life.
Mostly your fault, Tony pointed out.
Yeah, doesn't change the fact that this is my life.
Clint patted the toaster.
Thanks, buddy. Good job.
Hey, Tony, did you name this one yet?
Huh? No. Oh, no. I usually, name them on the spot. That's how they end up getting called things like Dummy and Butterfingers.
Cool. I'm putting Name the Toaster on the caper chart.
No, no, you're not. That chart needs to die, not be expanded.
Tony gave it a dark look.
Don't put that on the chart, Steve said.
And Tony was grateful for a split second, until he continued. That's something we should do as a team at the next family meeting.
The next family meeting? No, no, there will be no more family meetings, Tony said, trying to sound stern. He'd faced down congressional committees, and Nick Fury, and supervillains, and Charles Xavier, and, on one particularly unpleasant occasion, Pepper Potts through the bars of a filthy foreign jail cell. He'd slapped down billionaires, and magnates, and heads of state, and reporters with teeth like sharks.
Steve Rogers just kind of smiled at him, as if Tony was adorable and amusing, and kind of a bit on the delusional side.
Seriously, Steve, he said, aiming for a tone somewhere between wheedling and polite persuasion. We have mission briefings, and team meetings, and debriefings, and Nick Fury bitch fests, and Coulson's, do you know what you did wrong? Everything, you did everything wrong. PowerPoint presentations, and drunken wines. We do not need family meetings.
Yes, we do, Steve said. And Tony waited for his explanation, for some reason why he would think this thing, this wrong-headed, confusing thing. There was no reason forthcoming. Steve just smiled at him. And Tony resisted the urge to grab the chart, run to the roof, and throw it off. Only the knowledge that he could kill some innocent group of passing nuns, or puppies, or nuns with puppies, kept him rooted to the spot. God, he hated the chart.
No, you don't, Steve said, smile only getting wider and brighter. And Tony wondered what he would do if Tony hissed at him.
Natasha was checking off her tasks on the chart with her usual precision, her expression satisfied.
Tony, she said,
tapping Tony's unmarked chore with one long manicured nail.
I'm working on it, Tony said. You can't just jump straight into floor sweeping. There's protocols and, safety procedures. I don't know. I'm working on it. Besides, it's not like...
He could feel himself getting tense as the three of them stared at him.
Fine, it's fine. I don't...
Steve rolled his eyes as he reached for Tony. Tony managed a very undignified squeak before he found himself getting hugged again. Arms pinned to his side, tense to the point of trembling, he leaned away from Steve. Not that he could go anywhere. It was just traumatizing. This was his life. This was his goddamn life. Getting hugged by Captain America as a couple of deadly assassins hung out in his kitchen and laughed at him. Though now that he was kind of expecting it, it really wasn't so bad. Since he wasn't going to get away, he might as well enjoy it. Warm and firm and kind of nice. Tony felt himself relax, just a little, head falling to rest on Steve's shoulder. Just for a second. And that was nice, too. "Ah, my comrades! Is this to be a tradition for us?" Thor boomed as he strode into the kitchen. Before either of them knew what was happening, Thor had swept Steve and Tony up in an all-encompassing embrace, lifting both men off their feet. Steve let out a faint croak as his ribs compressed. "Thanks, Thor," he managed. Tony, for his part, just kicked his feet in a mad scramble to find purchase on something, anything, but he was in midair and he was being gang-hugged, and this was not right. "Thor, man, put them down. Tony's face is turning a very interesting color there," Clint pointed out with a wide grin. "Come on, man, cut them some slack. Down, down." And just like that, Tony's feet were back on the ground, and he was trying to find dignity and balance and self-respect all at once, and that was not going well for him. "Yes, thank you for that," he said, hand coming up automatically, because he should have a gauntlet with a repulsor in it right now, just for safety's sake. He wouldn't actually shoot them, but everyone needed to stop grabbing him like that. It just wasn't right. "Anybody else tries to hug me today, and I will be destroying your credit scores, and possibly your retirement portfolios." "We have retirement portfolios?" Clint asked Natasha. "Do you really think Coulson would not have gone behind your back and made a 401k for you?" she asked. "Unlike you, he is of the opinion you'll live to see retirement." "Yeah, that ain't happening." Clint glanced at Steve, who was still sucking in desperate breaths. "When's the family coffee clutch?" "Never!" Tony tried, and no one paid any attention to him, and he was going to kick them all out of his house. This was just the final straw. "No, you won't," Steve said, and he was checking off Stark hugging duty on the chart, and Tony hated the chart. "Thursday, I think. Unless we get a mission." "Yeah, before movie night. That should work. Ever noticed how we almost never get called out on Thursdays?" I think the villain community learned after the second time that Thor took deep personal offense at his day being so maligned, Natasha said. "There's another 6 days to choose from. Might as well take Thursday off and avoid the wrath of Thor." "My wrath is ever impressive, but justified when revealed. Greetings, friend Toaster," Thor said. And the Toaster fled. Tony wondered if he could back out of this whole Avengers Initiative thing.